Well, impeached again. The U.S. House of Representatives has voted to indict President Donald Trump for inciting last week's riots at the U.S. Capitol in a bid to overturn the November 3rd election result, Julie.
Yeah, the impeachment makes Mr. Trump the first sitting president in the U.S. history to ever be impeached twice by the House. And this marks another blow for the troubled leader in the twilight of his administration, with more of his political and business allies cutting ties and distancing themselves from him.
The ayes are 232. The nays are 197. The resolution is adopted.
House Democrats, as expected, were united in their argument that the president needs to be held accountable for the chaos he incited. But on the other side of the party lines, the division was clear. Some Republicans insisted Mr. Trump did no wrong, but at least 10 voted in favor of the impeachment. Well, the debate was fiery, with some condemning the president's conduct, while others argued the indictment would split the nation further.
That the president of the United States incited this insurrection, this armed rebellion against our common country. He must go.
Let's come together and impeach the president for this high crime against the republic. We don't have a minute to spare. He is a clear and present danger to the people.
If inciting a deadly insurrection is not enough to get a president impeached, then what is?
It's an obsession that is now broadened. It's not just about impeachment anymore, it's about canceling.
Last week there was a domestic threat at the door of the Capitol, and he did nothing to stop it.
Most Americans want neither inaction nor retribution. They want durable, bipartisan justice. That path is still available, but is not the path we are on today.
The Senate trial lies ahead for Mr. Trump, but the chamber's majority leader, Mitch McConnell, has said it will not happen before the president leaves office, adding there is no choice or no chance, that is, of a fair trial if it is rushed. Mr. McConnell, though, did not rule out voting against Mr. Trump, but said he will make his final decision known at the Senate trial.
Well, amid the historic vote by the House, the president released a statement urging calm and denouncing violence. It comes exactly a week after he called on his supporters to, quote, fight like hell to reverse the outcome of the presidential poll. His actions are increasingly isolating him with political and business allies, turning cold, and some openly calling for his removal. For the latest, the city of New York, which Mr. Trump has extensive business links with, It has moved to terminate all contracts with the Trump Organization following what it termed a criminal act by the president.
And for the latest, Simon Marks joining us live from Washington, D.C. Simon, an historic day. 10 members of his own party voted against the president. That's not a sizable number, but a damning accusation for rousing his followers to storm the Capitol last week, leaving 5 people dead. Where does this leave the Republican Party?
Well, the Republican Party is going to be facing inquiries and investigations into the damage that President Trump has done to the Republican cause for years to come. And the splits are on open display. 10 Republicans turning against President Trump, including some surprises in there. Congressman Tim Rice of South Carolina, who said after the vote, "I have backed this president through thick and thin for 4 years. I campaigned for him and voted for him twice, but this failure is inexcusable." That's one Republican congressman who turned against him. There may have been more thinking about it. Some had indicated that they wanted a very clear statement from President Trump condemning violence. Right now, Nancy Pelosi signing the articles of impeachment and possibly speaking about the outcome of this vote.
Diana DeGette, David Cicilline, Joaquin Castro, Eric Swalwell, Madeline Dean and Joe Neguse. I think Ted Lieu and Stacey Pasquet are in here electronically one way or another. But we're very proud that they have accepted the responsibility, a responsibility we did not think 1 week ago we would have. Today, in a bipartisan way, the House demonstrated that no one is above the law. not even the President of the United States. That Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to our country, and that once again, we honored our oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. So help us God. And now, I sadly, and with a heart broken over what this means to our country, of a president who would incite insurrection, will sign the engrossment of the article of impeachment.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi there putting pen to paper on the articles of impeachment overwhelmingly passed by the House of Representatives. Let's get back to Washington, D.C., where Simon Marks is standing by. And Simon, the Senate trial is not going to happen now until after the Biden team takes over. How big are the concerns of more mayhem before that change in commander-in-chief?
Well, they are substantial here, Adam. Let's just talk about what Nancy Pelosi has just done. She signs the article of impeachment. She is immediately going to transmit that to the U.S. Senate, which is the move that is necessary before the trial can begin. In other words, she is saying to Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, let's begin the trial. Mitch McConnell, as you've said, has already said he's not going to do that. So it's going to fall to the next majority leader of the Senate, Charles Schumer, a Democrat, when the handover of power takes place here to decide when, and I suppose if, to put Donald Trump on trial in the Senate. But while all of that is playing out inside the building that was invaded and ransacked a week ago by Donald Trump's armed conspiracy theory supporters, outside it, there is a literal ring of steel now guarding it. A 7-foot unscalable fence, concrete blast barriers, hundreds of National Guard. They've been sleeping in the corridors of the building. The head of the Washington, D.C. Police Force announced today that for the inauguration, there will be 20,000 National Guard on the streets of Washington, D.C. That is four times the number of U.S. troops in Iraq and Afghanistan currently combined. And that gives you a sense of how law enforcement agencies and the intelligence community fear that there could be more violence here. Airbnb today cancelled all bookings in Washington, D.C. for the next week, saying they had identified some users who were members of hate groups. The entire central area of Washington now under police patrol, with cars routinely being stopped and drivers being asked to provide identification. And the fears aren't just focused on Washington. They are focused on all 50 states of this country, where the FBI says President Trump supporters still have plans to foment unrest. Many of them have been arrested. We know that in excess of 100 people now have been arrested and are facing charges, and substantial caches of weaponry have been recovered, according to law enforcement agencies operating in many states of the country and moving in to try and arrest those people who participated in last week's violence. President Trump, as you said, finally today put out a written statement saying he wants to see no violence. That's not what he favors. It is not the American way. We expect in the course of the next few hours, maybe sooner than that, to be hearing from President Trump himself. He is reportedly recording a video at the White House, which will be distributed. That seems to be the new way that he chooses to communicate with the American public. He doesn't call up a live television camera. He prefers to record a video himself and then distribute it. So we don't know how soon we're going to see it or how defiant or otherwise he may sound in that video. In his most recent comments about impeachment yesterday, he called the process absolutely ridiculous and part of the biggest political witch hunt in American history. Now, impeachment supported by 10 members of his own party.
Gosh, you have to wonder whether he was coerced into sort of walking back his stance there after that meeting with Vice President Mike Pence. We'll never know, I guess. Thanks very much for that, Simon. Simon Marks from Washington, D.C.